Good morning. Today is Friday, January the 12th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Sean Robertson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. I am already in a different time zone. Yes. I wrote down Fire Chief where the date is. I don't think that's a month. I just have kind of had that innate sense. Well, we are now into a new category in our question for the morning.
New category.
Yeah. We're out of sports and leisure. Now we're into politics and history.
Oh, I didn't know we were in a category.
Yeah, well, that's kind of how they do this thing. Why are those seeking political favor from elected officials said to be lobbying them?
I'm just going to throw out my first thought in that way back in the day when those types of leaders would get up there and do their speeches, people would lob fruit at them to encourage or dissuade them from their statements.
Well,
and depending on the fruit, they would know if they approved it.
Yeah.
I'm going to just go with
so
that.
So if it was edible versus rotten?
Yes. Or it's referring to a lobby, a part of a building.
And that's what I was thinking. Maybe they got cornered in the lobby of.
Yes.
That's where I would go.
Yeah.
All right. The term lobbying originates from the earliest days of the British Parliament, where an extensive corridor runs between the Chamber of the Lords and the House of Commons. Because the general public were allowed in this corridor or lobby, it was where constituents waited to meet with their representatives in order to influence their votes on current legislation. This practice was called lobbying.
All right.
Because it took place in the lobby.
Okay.
One of these things finally made sense.
It did. It wasn't
esoteric.
Super, yeah.
That's a fancy random word for a Friday, I know, but.
Oh, that's good.
I'm kind of feeling fancy.
So I think I got that one.
Yeah.
And I should get extra points for my creative.
I think you've earned those cookies.
Yes, I have. Thank you.
Oh, boy. Got a couple of ballots. I think they were ballots in the mail.
Yes.
From the fire district.
Yes.
What's that all about?
That was a benefit assessment for properties in the fire district. We went to the voters to ask for an increase. The last time we asked for that was in 2004. And unfortunately, that's the cost of doing business has gone up significantly since then. And we're also
really in 20 years
plan for the future with just upgrading our facilities and our apparatus and having a better long-term plan.
Is that in this? That's not in the same cycle though as the election.
No, because it's a benefit assessment, it's under a different election code. So we were able to do a mail-in ballot, and those went out at the end of October, I believe, and then they were voted on December 20th. So,
by December 20th,
the ballots had to be in by December 20th, and
I think I made it.
Well, we counted all of them.
Yeah,
it was 56% in favor of implementing the new benefit assessment.
Actually, I think I did four of them.
Four properties.
Well, there was a merger of the three parcels in King Salmon.
Right.
But I think this must have gone out before the merger happened. So next time I'm only worth, and then out here. Understood. So next time I'm only worth half of what I was this time.
Okay.
So you don't have to pay me, just half the amount.
Okay.
Before anybody gets excited.
In cookies.
Half of zero is zero.
I'll pay you in cookies.
Yeah, great. Yeah, cookie crumbs. So that is just to kind of keep pace as much as anything, rather than, you'd said new acquisitions. I think some people sometimes have the perception that new acquisitions means more toys rather than a maintenance or a replacement schedule.
Right. Yeah. A lot of our equipment is on a 15 to 30 year cycle. That is based on industry standards. Having good planning for those types of investments is important. I call it an investment because the apparatus now is $700 to $1.5 million, depending on what it is.
Isn't that staggering?
Yeah. So, you know.
And the frustrating thing, I think, for a lot of folks, you can be backwater volunteer fire department, nowhere USA.
Right.
And the truck's $1.5 million. Yeah. You can be downtown LA, where there's swimming in coin.
Right.
And that truck is $1.5 million.
Yeah, well, that's...
And the standard is the same, you know, saving lives, saving property.
Yep. And that's what it costs to manufacture those, and those went up a lot in the last 3 years because the cost of materials, I mean, the manufacturers were telling us you should get your orders in now because we're going up by 25% in 2 months, and they've gone up since then. Yeah, so...
Get the orders in or pay for it, buy?
Well, they...
Sometimes they're different.
Yes, the manufacturer we work with... is pretty good about helping with financing and making sure it all works for everybody. But, I mean, to your other point, yeah, it's a huge issue for paid agencies because it's really difficult to raise that much money. So that goes back to the importance of Measure Z funding locally and then for a lot of those agencies to just have a longer-term plan or just – that they're able to get something. I mean, we sell or donate some of our older equipment, and for a lot of ours, when we cycle it out, it's 30 plus years old. In our reserve ladder truck right now that we put in service quite often, you know, was built in 1995, and
that couldn't be 30 years ago.
No, it couldn't be.
No, no way.
And our water tender on the district side. You know, that we go to unhydrated areas, it's that old as well, so.
Just a babe.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. But the, you know.
Now, the scary thing, I think, or if we look at this logically, what they're replacing is another 20 years old. So they're running around on 40, 50, 60-year-old vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a challenge.
That's a little sobering, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if you live in those areas.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson. Sean, the concept of the volunteer fire departments and the pass-along of gear.
Right.
Obviously, it's still safe and meets whatever the safety standards are, that because you're not going to give them any torn vests or breathing apparatus that leaks and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Do those different departments rely more on like a sugar daddy within their jurisdiction to come to their aid and support financially? Or if somebody has an event and the volunteers respond, all of a sudden they're feeling generous and they give chunks of money? How do they keep the doors open?
I don't know all the specifics because I'm not in those agencies, but my perception is that may have been the case 20, 30 years ago. But we're in a very different place now, not only in terms of funding, but in terms of the volunteer responders themselves. It's very difficult to get people that are that committed and that available to go, especially in the smaller agencies. And you
just because they're not living in the neighborhood or during the daytime?
Yeah.
When they're at work?
They just can't leave their work or they have families or various number of factors. In some of the smaller ones, I mean, you're going to take care of what's going on, like in Petrolia. Shelter Cove is a really great organization, but they get funding from the resort.
From the resort district?
Resort district.
Okay.
But then they also, they do, a lot of their rescues are in the ocean. And
tough to drive the fire truck there, isn't it?
Well, they have done a great job, you know, with getting jet skis and rescue vessels like that. But often they're the first ones, and they're dealing with the same challenges of a lot of their volunteers are working or they're not available, and they do an incredible job with that. So
there's something cool about a fire department with jet skis. you're there too. Just the visual of it is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Have you guys considered that? I mean, I know you got the tugboat or the fireboat.
We have the fireboat. Now we have an inflatable rescue boat.
But I mean,
we'd love to get jet skis as well because they're super easy to deploy. I mean, we have surfboards and all of our apparatus now because we have rescue swimmers, and it's one of the best ways to get to a patient quickly and then be able to put them on the board and get them out of the freezing water.
I would think the learning curve is...
Yeah.
I mean, most of the guys probably do it in the summer on the lake anyway.
They're
familiar enough with it.
Yeah.
So you jump on, here's what you do, here's what you don't do, now go practice.
Yeah, I mean, we've even tried to partner with the SO because they have a few jet skis in their...
Oh, really?
In their courtyard that... don't get deployed much, and
we'll have to start paying attention to Billy's truck bed.
Yeah, see what kind of chilly. Yeah, this is why Measure Z has been really huge for all the agencies because it's helped us to standardize equipment and meet the needs of the different departments because they are different.
Is there like a distribution warehouse? Jet skis. Okay, every department shouldn't have jet skis.
No.
But for the four or five that might be in a geographic area, to have, I don't know, some central location that has those, so if somebody, if the situation warrants, you're able to access it as you're responding?
No, that logistically that becomes really complicated. One, that'd be a huge expense, and we have more important needs. Two, where would we store them? We'd have to find storage to pay for them.
Your garage?
Then there's a maintenance. My garage is full of my other volunteer hats that I wear. That sounds great, but I mean,
not practical.
Part of the issue I think in this whole country is there's so many disparate communities that aren't connected, and so what that makes is we all have to try to figure out the exact same problem. Whereas in other countries, they have a centralized system. So
there'd be a county fire department.
Yeah, exactly.
As an example.
Or you have a nation, like in Australia, there's the country fire department.
Oh, really?
And it's standardized.
They just have a national?
Yeah, standardized across the country. But then they also have, they don't have paid people everywhere. They still have people in their communities. And I've seen that in Europe, too, where, you know, you have a little village. Where I lived for a little bit in the Swiss Alps, and the volunteers were just people in the town, and they'd, you know, do a drill every month and meet
ring
in
the bell
town.
And everybody comes running kind
exactly.
of thing?
Exactly, yeah. Because
they don't have the bucket brigade anymore, though, right?
I don't know if they do there, but we still have some buckets around, yeah.
It sounds cool, but with the funding challenges that you hear that the sheriff has got and the overlay of state governmental entities over the county governmental entities and doing battle and who has what jurisdiction and who's... Do you think it would be possible?
No, I don't. I mean,
it makes sense, but...
It does. There would have to be some huge paradigm shifts in government. And, I mean, there's all kinds of other areas that are affected by the same thing.
And probably it could be benefited...
Yeah.
From taking the same perspective in their areas, too.
I agree. I think we really suffer from it here because we're isolated, and it affects everything, you know, the housing, healthcare, the economy, development, everything is affected by that. And if we had a more centralized support system, then maybe it wouldn't be as bad.
Well, if we can't get dispatch on the same wavelength, how is it going to be in all these various departments?
Yeah. Yeah.
It just is a simple example.
Yeah, and I'm a fat of history in terms of understanding how things came to be, because
you mean like lobbying?
Yeah, yeah. Like a lot of these things we were talking about, you know, really started in the 70s and 80s.
And well, that the consolidation even that you guys went through.
Yeah.
You know, that was discussed at least in the, what, 50s? Late 50s, early 60s?
Yeah, and concerted efforts in every decade or two decades to really make it happen, and then it just would fall apart at the last minute. So when it did happen in 2011, that was, you know, a long time coming.
Shock and awe.
Yeah,
because there certainly was discussion on the street about, well, what about a Humboldt Bay single entity?
Yep.
And merge Samoa in and bring in Arcata as well.
Yep.
Obviously, that one's on the back burner too.
Yeah, because again, we're looking for different funding mechanisms, and they're all different. So, challenge.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by, playback.
I know.
Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson from Humboldt Bay Fire. The concept of the various departments, Sean, is something that I would think is could be refreshing, because each department kind of reflects their communities, right?
Right.
So it's kind of like school boards in a weird way, except you don't get guaranteed funding from the state.
Yeah.
this mutual aid, we hear an awful lot about that, or MOU, Memorandum of Understanding. Okay.
Yeah.
JPAs and JPEGs and right. PDFs and all these that are out there. How coordinated is that? I mean, or how difficult is it, I guess, to coordinate all those efforts?
In California, it's pretty well coordinated because of the wildland situation that we've had for a long time. Developed in the 70s, 80s, where there were a lot of fires in the south, and the state developed the Office of Emergency Services that was kind of the central coordination center. And some of the early things that came out of that was standardizing equipment types and resources.
Oh, really? So the rigs that you guys have?
Yeah,
they're
like
comparable with any other department?
You have to have a certain complement of tools and equipment. You have to have a complement of four people or three people, depending on the apparatus type. And then it also standardized communication, so we all call things the same thing. We all talk the same way. I mean, that was one of the huge things that came out of 9/11 was...
Oh, really? Was that recent?
Yeah. We call it FireScope. That was developed in the 70s, and that was the precursor to what we call the Incident Command System, or ICS, or the Standardized Incident Management System. And that became a federal mandate after 9/11 because a lot of agencies didn't use the same terminology, didn't use the same structure, didn't have each other's frequencies. So they couldn't communicate.
Oh, really?
On the radio.
Even the frequencies were all over.
Yeah,
that
was a huge problem between the fire department and the Port Authority Police Department, and on the towers they just couldn't communicate. So, yeah, all of that standardization again for California, we were way ahead of that, and we still are in many ways. So it's much more natural for us to use that. So in the county, you know, that's a system we're used to. We meet regularly as a chiefs organization. There's definitely, between the South and the Ill River Valley and North Humboldt, there are little differences there, and those areas tend to train and work more because that's just where they are geographically located. But our mutual aid system is pretty good, I think. We are always ready to help each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of that
yeah.
that happens that we don't
yeah.
see.
Yeah, I mean,
or if we see it, we don't recognize
and
it.
And that's how our system's designed to work is if we need help, we ask for it. And that's why it's called mutual aid, because we're always ready to aid each other, and it has to be reciprocal, or it's not an integral agreement.
Aid really doesn't help out then.
Yeah. And, you know, for us as the biggest career agency, a municipal career agency in the county, we have more resources than most folks, so we're always happy and willing to support however we can.
So you get a lot of calls. Now, when there's the large fires out of the area, you guys will send crews there for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
If it's within the local neighborhood, is there any hesitation? Let's say there's an event in Oreck. Okay, it's kind of outside the norm. You got Cal Fire. You've got Arcata McKinleyville responding to that.
Right.
Is that too far for you guys to go to?
How it works is, again, Cal Fire is the main dispatch for fire in the county. Is its area, it draws from the closest area, because you want to bring the closest resources in first. So they would start with Arcata, and then if they couldn't get resources, then they'd go further south or further north. So they expand out. That's generally how the system works. So if it was a big enough incident where they needed a lot of resources and they couldn't meet that need in the close area, then yeah, it could definitely
just keep expanding until yeah. it's there.
I mean, that's what happened down in southern Humboldt a few years ago.
Yeah, Salmon Creek.
Yeah, we were down there for a week because there wasn't a whole lot of other resources.
Well, yeah, and I would think that the timing also was a big deal.
Yeah,
either time of the year or time of the month of the year too.
Right,
would be a big deal if you got a bunch of folks out on vacation. I don't know. That must impact your vacation schedules, though, also.
Yeah, we, you know, have overtime, so we backfill those vacancies as a normal practice.
But if you don't allow 20% of the staff to take vacation during the same month.
No. We only need three folks a day is what we allow.
Pecking order?
Yeah, there's seniority involved in that.
Yeah. Oh, it's seniority. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. It always sounds so much fancier.
Yeah, but generally we're staffed and ready to respond, so we can provide that support pretty quickly.
Some of the apparatus that you've got in your department that the others don't have, do they train on your stuff? So if your guys pull up, they can... And everybody's kind of doing whatever they're doing, that they're able to utilize that equipment? Or do you guys stay on your gear and they stay on their gear? And
generally, we do the latter. We operate our own
equipment. Was that LATT or LADD?
TTER.
TT, okay.
Yeah. Not ladder, latter.
Latter, okay.
That's, you know, what is that called? An American compression. You just gotcha and what do you want? And
oh,
CYA,
that's what it's called.
But yeah, we try to operate on equipment just because you're more comfortable with that. We don't really train a whole lot on the specific equipment because it takes a lot more knowledge and experience to do that, like our ladder truck.
To get to the point where you're a benefit rather than a hindrance.
Yeah. I mean, we've had certainly, you know, crazy situations where we didn't have operators, but we had the apparatus there and somebody from a different agency knows how to operate. I mean, the pumps are a pump. It's pretty standardized, so you're going to be able to get water out of it.
With the new rigs that are out there, I don't know when your next purchase is going to be, but are there new cool things on board those that are going to either make it more efficient or more effective, or that everybody's going to have to train to? That nobody really knows how to operate it at this point?
There are always improvements, just like any car, or any vehicle, I should say. The coolest things we're seeing is just, I mean, this sounds not that significant, but just lighting. where the lights are brighter and more visible and more efficient.
Oh, the running lights, not yeah. when you're there on site.
Or both. Light it up. Yeah, we have the lighted up lights on the rigs.
Okay, wait a minute. If you say light it up, that has a different connotation. If That's you have true. Any kind of military background.
Illuminating the area. Yeah, yeah. We call them scene lights. So
oh, okay.
It's a super bright light when you get there, you turn it on and it lights up the whole area. Illuminates the whole area, not lights it up in the military way.
But those aren't what you drive with, are they? I mean, you wouldn't be wanting to blind the guy in front of you. No,
they're usually on the side. Okay. That's how they work. But we do have lights on the, often like on, even on my command vehicle, we have a spotlight on the roof that you can remotely actuate. So.
Oh, it's a little toggle? You don't have to reach out as you're driving?
No, don't have to do that anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. But then just a lot more electronics is what we're seeing and integrated systems and things like that.
To the point where are things starting to become a little bit more automated?
A little bit. You know, one example is a relief valve versus a pressure governor in terms of how you adjust the pressure of the pump.
The flow.
Yeah. So and now they're way more automatic than they used to be when I started.
Well, I would think that would make sense because then if you don't have to have somebody standing right there.
Yeah.
Adjusting it, you've got another body you can
It's more to deal with the effect of what we call water hammer, so sudden changes in the flow. The pump can compensate more for those.
Oh, it's a buffer?
Yeah. Okay. So if you have two lines flowing and they may be at different pressures, the pressure governor would be set. And then so if somebody's flowing and then they stop, that automatically may increase the pressure to someone else. Or if the hydrant's pressure changes for some reason, the pump's pressure governor is kind of a safety feature. So you said buffer, but it just prevents the pressure from spiking.
So if you have two trucks and they're both throwing water down, this monitors both?
No.
It's from a single source?
This is just the one unit.
Okay.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:49. Geez, during the break, we're spending money left and right like we have it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, do you see any relief coming from the state with some of these different programs, mandates, requirements, challenges that the state has, public safety in general? You know, yeah, we've got Measure Z. Okay, fine. You know, that's helping out, but right. That isn't the cure-all.
No.
And I think if anybody thought that it was when we voted for it or against it, then they're kind of foolish. Is the state recognizing any responsibility, or they just kind of keep expanding CAL FIRE, expanding CAL OES, expanding these things that are state, rather than giving it to the local jurisdiction, the responsibility, but also the funding associated with that?
I don't see any change in the funding side. I think there's some changes they're trying to do more on just the training standards. I can speak to that, where they're recognizing that more of the rural areas have a lot more difficulty in getting people to the same training standard that the rest of the state is expected to do. So that's what I could comment on, but I don't see anything changing. I mean, just my very basic knowledge of the state budget is really bad, and they keep trying to expand CAL FIRE, and I don't see that changing.
So with training, they would have more regional training opportunities for everybody to go to, or they would throw a couple of dollars to the existing training facilities and say, okay, add this or let's do that?
No dollars. It's more, essentially, it's a rollback to how it used to be. So I'm talking specifically about firefighter training and what we call a Firefighter 1 state certificate. 20 years ago when I started, we had the Humboldt Regional Occupational Program that provided a regular fire academy that would qualify you to work for CAL FIRE, the Forest Service, as well as the municipal agencies that required that. And now, 25 years later, it's very difficult to get a Firefighter 1 cert. You have to go to an accredited academy testing center.
Is that like what Butte has?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so there's a few nearby, Butte, College of the Siskiyous, some of the
Siskiyous, well, that would, yeah. Talk about somebody that's at ground zero. Yeah. I would think Siskiyous would be,
yeah.
Or Lassen.
Yeah.
Take your pick, yeah.
And we, since HRP went away, I think 20 years ago, we've really struggled to have a solid academy here that works as much as the old one did, where it provided for everybody's needs. We're closer now than we've ever been with College of the Redwoods. They've been offering an academy for CAL FIRE the last few years, and we're hoping they can become an accredited academy.
Then everybody can utilize it?
Yeah, but again, the requirements to get certified as that is very difficult. But what we're hearing is the state fire training administration is looking at ways to facilitate that. For areas like ours, where so the simple example is you can get sign-offs by your fire chief instead of having to go to an accredited testing academy.
Well, I would think that would be logical, because if you're willing to accept the risk to hire somebody who has that accreditation,
right?
There's got to be a trust factor somewhere in there.
Yeah, I mean, the issue that was happening in the past, though, is with the sign-offs for what should be the same tasks, you would have a widely huge range of skills.
Oh, so the functional definition was a little loose.
Yeah, but, I mean, part of that is just in the practice of the job is if you all learn the same skills on day one, but 10 years later, one of you's had 1,000 hours of incidents and one of you's had 2, you're obviously going to have very different levels of skill.
Yeah, what muscle memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully you won't have to employ any memory this weekend, huh?
Hopefully.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. See everybody on Monday.